Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 12. Sayad nu vrata pumsam. Sayadanu vrata pumsam. Basu budhir vibhijate. Basu budhir vibhijate. Anya esha tatanyoham. Anya esha tatanyoham. Iti beda gata sati. Iti beda gata sati. Sayadanu vrata pumsam. Pasu buddhir bhavijate. Anya esha tatanyoham. Iti beda gata sati. Others? Anybody else like the chant? Vaishnavis? Oh. Yeah. That Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yada, when, anuvrata, favorable or pleased, pumsam, of the conditioned souls, basubuddhi, the animalistic conception of life. I am the Supreme and everyone is God. Vibhijate is destroyed. Anya, another. Esha, this. Tata, as well as. Anya, another. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Beda, distinction. Gata, having. Asati, which is disastrous. Purport, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of His devotional service, one becomes a pandit and does not make distinction between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. And this is a long purport, so just want to warn everybody. Purport. When Prahlad Maharaj's teachers and demoniac father asked him how his intelligence had been polluted, Prahlad Maharaj said, quote, as far as I am concerned, my intelligence has not been polluted. Rather, by the grace of my spiritual master and by the grace of Lord Krishna, I have now learned that no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna. But under the influence of the external energy, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another. This mistaken idea has now been corrected, and therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, I no longer think that I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Now I am rightly thinking that everyone is an eternal servant of God and that our duty is to serve the Supreme Master. For then we shall stand on the platform of oneness as servants. Demons think of everyone as friend or enemy, but Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnava treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. Although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnav feels this oneness. The Isopanishad advises, ekatvam anupashyata. A devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart and should also see every living entity as an eternal servant of the Lord. This vision is called ekatvam, oneness. Although there is a relationship of master and servant, both master and servant are one because of their spiritual identity. This is also ekatvam. Thus, the Mayavadi conception of ekatvam for the Vaishnav... Sorry, let me read that again. Thus, the conception of ekatvam for the Vaishnav is different from that of the Mayavadi. Hiranyakasipu asked Prahlad Maharaj how he had become an antagonist to his family. When a family member is killed by an enemy, all the members of the family would naturally be inimical to the murderer. But Hiranyakasipu saw that Prahlad had become friendly with the murderer. Therefore, he asked, who has created this kind of intelligence in you? Have you developed this consciousness by yourself? Since you are a small boy, someone must have induced you to think this way. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to reply that an attitude favorable toward Vishnu can develop only when the Lord is favorable. Sad Yadanu Vrata. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the friend of everyone. Suridam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Shantimrityati. The Lord is never an enemy to any of the millions of living entities, but is always a friend to everyone. This is true understanding. If one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, his intelligence is pasu buddhi, the intelligence of an animal. He falsely thinks, I am different from my enemy, and my enemy is different from me. The enemy has done this, and therefore my duty is to kill him. This misconception is described in this verse as beta gata sati. The actual fact is that everyone is a servant of the Lord, as confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nichadas. As servants of the Lord, we are one, and there could be no questions of enmity or friendship. If one actually understands that every one of us is a servant of the Lord, where is the question of enemy or friend? Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking. Vaikuntha thinking. There may be many rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service, but in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15, Savashchacham Radisani Vishto Mataksmatir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different dictation to the non-devotees and the devotees. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service life after life and are punished by the laws of nature. But when a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend, and everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Buddhalesha Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamanita Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pacharani Nivashesha Sanyavadi Paskajadishtani. So this is an incredible purport that we just heard by Srila Prabhupada. And I know there's no way I'm going to be able to do justice to this purport, but this is the program that somebody has to speak after they read Srila Prabhupada's purport, so I'll try to say something that's worth hearing and for my own purification, and hopefully can, I don't think so, but hopefully shed some further light on these incredible points that Prabhupada brought up one after the other in his purport. So in the Nectar Devotion, there's an interesting in the chapter called the Eligibility of a Candidate for Devotional Service, which is where down the bottom there. Prabhupada says, he's talking about different types of people in the material world. Anyway, he makes his statement. He says, in the material world, everyone is trying to be the topmost head man among all his fellow men or neighbors. Either communally, socially, or nationally, everyone is competing to be greater than all others in the material concept of life. So that's what's going on in the material world. And that's why you have this thing of friends and enemies. That's where that comes into the picture. See, everybody's trying to be the topmost head man among all his fellow men or neighbors. And anybody who's cooperative to my program to become the topmost head man, you know, among all my fellow men and neighbors, that's my friend. And anybody who's antagonistic to my program to become the topmost head man among all my fellow men and neighbors, that's my enemy. And it can change from moment to moment, depending upon that, you know, how other people are behaving towards me or interacting with me. See, but that's the basic idea of friends and enemies. See, but the problem is, it's an illusion. It's based on a complete illusion. The illusion is that we can be the topmost head man among all our fellow men and neighbors. The problem is that the position is already taken. You know, the position is already filled. Right? It's already filled by Krishna, who factually is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, this is, you know, all attempts to become the topmost headman among all our fellow men and neighbors, it's going to be, you know, it's futile. It's going to be frustrating, frustrated. So in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, you know, he says there's two classes of living beings. There's the fallible, and then there's the infallible, right? Everybody in this material world is fallible, and in the spiritual world, they're all infallible. And then, but then Krishna goes on to say, but beyond those, there's me. Take a little help from the Bhagavad Gita here. Krishna says, besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. And that's one reason why he is the Supreme Lord. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Because who else can enter into the three worlds and maintain them? See, Krishna's got the qualification. See, that's the real problem. The problem is, one aspect of the problem is, everybody here in the material world is desiring to be the topmost headman among all his fellow men or neighbors. Why? So they can experience the honor, you know, the respect, the glorification, you know, the praise, the glorification, the worship that the Supreme Personality of Godhead receives. So in other words, we want that without having the qualification. We don't deserve it. You know, there's a verse from the not sure where it's from, but I should know. But Nicho Nichanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam, Yova Dadati Kaman. It's explaining that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he's maintaining all of the living entities. It's like it's saying here, he's entering into the three worlds and he's maintaining them. Nobody else can do that. You know? Krishna's in a category all of his own. There's the Vibhinamsas, which are Ashankya, uncountable, innumerable, right? And then there's the other category contains one person. There's only one person in that other category, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's Nicho Nichanam. He's maintaining everybody. He's maintaining all the other living entities, see? So therefore, he actually is qualified. He deserves all the honor, respect, worship, and glorification because he's doing it. I mean, it's his show. This is the Krishna show. And we're all just allowed to be, you know, come and be part of the audience and participate a little bit. But, you know, I mean, Krishna actually is worthy of all that, but no other living entity can. And then Krishna goes on to explain here. He says, because I am, this is not boasting, by the way. You know, it's like when you actually have the qualification, it's okay to speak like this. Krishna says, because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, he comes right out and says it, because I'm the greatest. He's not, what's the word, boasting or bragging. It's just, that's just the fact of the matter. Krishna's the greatest. He says, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that supreme person. Okay? So that's the reality of the whole thing. You know, and that's why this whole thing of friends and enemies is just, it's just total illusion. It's total illusion. You know, to think that to have this desire to become the topmost headman among all fellow men and neighbors, it's just totally the proper understanding is the proper way to be thinking is yena bhutani yasheshani drakshas yatmani atomai. It's Bhagavad Gita 4:35. Understanding that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all his parts and parcels. That's what that verse is saying. We're all just Krishna's parts and parcels, and. So that's the real situation. You know, we're not meant to be like little competitors of Krishna here in the material world. We're his parts and parcels. We're his eternal servants. We're meant to be, you know, our existence is meant for trying to render service to Krishna, to please Krishna by serving him, by glorifying him like that. But unfortunately, at least those of us who are here in the material world, the fallible, remember I mentioned there's the two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. So the fallible, we're here in the material world, and we are manakshastrani indriyani prakritistani karshati. There's another verse where that whole picture of reality is described. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. You know, the living entities, Krishna says, there are my eternal fragmental parts and parcels. But what's going on is manakshastani indriyani prakritistani karshati. They're struggling hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Why? Because we allowed our service attitude to deteriorate, and it's been replaced by that, you know, that spirit, that desire to be a rival to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as a result, we're awarded, so to speak, this mentality of, you know, we're struggling hard with the six senses, which include the mind here in this material world. That's actually the position, you know. So Prabhupada says in his purport here that when somebody understands, you know, the reality, then Prabhupada goes, therefore a Vaishnav treats other living entities neither as friends nor enemies, but instead tries to spread the spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord and are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and feel oneness as servants. So that's really what's supposed to be going on. We're supposed to be, you know, people are supposed to be understanding that they are not these material bodies, that we're not, you know, candidates for becoming the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but rather we're His eternal servants, and we should be favorably using this human form of life to try to favorably engage in devotional service so that we can, at the end of this lifetime, go back to live with Krishna eternally in the spiritual world. And those of us who have already understood that, our, you know, program is to try to help everybody else understand that, basically. I think that's what, you know, we're meant to be doing. So, spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So I was thinking about that point, about, you know, this spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, and I was analyzing it a little bit, and I was thinking, well, in order to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, there has to be these different elements, you know, that have to kind of work cooperatively. One is that there's the Krishna element. There's like there's different things that are involved in order for the Krishna conscious movement to spread. There's Krishna, there's the devotees of Krishna, and then there's the people, the non-devotees, who the Krishna conscious movement need to be spread to. Okay, well, as far as Krishna is going, no problem there. Krishna wants all the, you know, the his parts and parcels that are here in the material world to return, to be once again to be engaged in devotional service favorably and go back to live with him eternally in the spiritual world at the end of this lifetime. And to that end, Krishna came, was here 5,000 years ago. Krishna came himself. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And then, you know, when he saw that things weren't going exactly maybe as ideally he would have liked them to go, he came again 500 years ago, a little over 500 ago. He was here as Lord Chaitanya. There's so many acharyas, you know, so many devotees, pure devotees who are representing Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya here in the material world. And Krishna is doing his part. Krishna is doing his part. He came himself twice in the last 5,000 years. He's got all these pure devotees coming. So many books have been produced by one pure devotee in particular, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and I think, I don't know the number anymore, but it must be billions that we've been distributed since the beginning of the movement. Sir, do you know a number? How many books have been distributed since the beginning of the movement? A lot. How many? 6.5 billion. What? Million? We're not getting a clear number here, but it's got to be more than...
In America, about a million a year.
Oh, okay. Now, what about worldwide since the movement began? Yeah.
So that would be...
Just here in America.
Just in America.
Okay. Just give you an idea. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so it's a lot, you know, the point thing, it's a lot. A lot of, you know, books have been distributed, so people have had a lot of, you know, from Krishna's part, there's been a lot of effort to help people become Krishna conscious. And then there's the devotees of Krishna, us. Well, you know, we're the ones who are distributing the books. I mean, you know, we're also doing our part. We're distributing the books. We're practicing devotional service. We're maintaining temples where people can come and find out more about Krishna. We're going out on Harinam. We've got restaurants where, you know, where people can come and take prashan, and we're constantly inviting people to come to the temple. So, you know, we're doing, I mean, there's room for improvement. Obviously, everybody will, you know, immediately acknowledge that there's room for improvement, but we've, you know, we're making an effort. So that leaves the third category, the conditioned souls. I think, you know, they're actually they're the ones that are dragging the heels. In other words, from Krishna's part, he wants everybody back to Godhead. From our part, we're trying. We're trying to, you know, get with the program, so to speak, and we're chanting and we're doing all the different things that we're supposed to be doing to try to, you know, get them to become devotees. But they're dragging their heels, and that's the real problem, actually. Just even this morning, we heard Suvas was reading from the Namamrita, and at the last sentence or so was saying that anybody who doesn't take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna, who's glorifying, you know, the chanting as usual, we hear, you know, the importance of it and the power of it, and I'm saying anybody who doesn't take to this chanting has got to be understood to be greatly bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. So that's the situation, that, you know, people are unfortunately greatly bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. There's one nice song by Lochan Das Thakur where he's glorifying Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, saying that, you know, Padma Karana Pahun Dvijana, that these two brothers, they're incarnations, the essence of all incarnations, and their process of self-realization is Kevala Ananda Kanda. It's very joyfully performed. And he says that all one has to do is just, you know, chant Hare Krishna and give up give up sense gratification, and that makes one qualify to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, whose mercy is so great that even animals, you know, became influenced by their devotional service, you know, when they were present here 500 years ago, and even stone melts like that. So, but then he goes on at the end, he says I can't remember the Bengali or the Sanskrit, but he says that, unfortunately I'm entrapped in the process of sense gratification, and therefore I've not developed an attraction for the chanting. Yamraj is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. So, of course, that's his humility. He's, you know, expressing his feelings of separation there. But, of course, that is accurate when applied to the conditioned souls. That's their position, in other words. They're actually being punished by Yamraj by not allowing, Yamraj is not allowing them to become attracted to the Sankirtan movement. See, so the bottom line is they are unfortunate. They're unfortunate. The people who are not taking to devotional service, who are not accepting this Krishna conscious movement, they're unfortunate. So what to do? What time is it? Just say, so I know. Okay. So they're unfortunate. So Prabhupada said on different occasions, our business is to try to help the unfortunate become fortunate. We have to try to make them fortunate. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but myself, I don't feel, what power do I have to make people who are unfortunate fortunate? I mean, none, I don't feel. I mean, no qualification, no power to do that. But I have, faith that Prabhupada did, and the predecessor Acharyas do. So that's my understanding of what the solution to the problem is, that we have to just really pray to become very sincere servants of our spiritual master and the predecessor Acharyas, and be instruments, just be instruments, because they have the potency. Prabhupada had the potency. Prahlad Maharaj, we're studying seventh canto now. Prahlad Maharaj, he was the one. He prayed. I mean, maybe somebody knows that verse. I just got a few. Soche Tatova Mukachetasa. You know, it's that famous verse where he's praying to Lord Nisringadev. Actually, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back unless all these mudhas I can take them back with me. So that's the mood, you know. Prabhupada used to quote Prahlad Maharaj. That's the mood that all Vaishnavas are supposed to have. And certainly Prabhupada had that, and certainly the predecessor Acharyas had that. And that was recognized by Krishna. So the idea is that by the mercy of the pure devotee, these very unfortunate people, and they are very unfortunate, It's stated someplace in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if somebody doesn't take advantage of this Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, which is present on the planet now, and you know, they won't get another opportunity maybe for I can't even remember the figure, but it's a long time. I mean, this is like a real window of opportunity, and you know, and people missing out on this opportunity, it's really a big mistake. I mean, they're really cruising for a bruising, so to speak. You know, it's kind of, it can mess up their lives for a real long time. So anyway, so the solution is the mercy of the pure devotee. This is an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave when he was lecturing on seventh canto. He's talking about Prahlad Maharaj. And this is, you know, sort of confirmation of his point. He says, Prahlad Maharaj and every Vaishnav who is actually following the Parampara system of Vaishnav duty, they are anxious. Prahlad Maharaj says that Soche Tatova Mukachetasa, why they are Vimudhan, because Vimukachetasa, they don't like you. This is, you know, Prahlad, anyway, you can figure it out. They don't like you. They don't care for you. I don't care for God. I don't accept Krishna. And Prabhupada goes, these are Vimudhas. So Prabhupada goes, so all the Vaishnavas, especially those who have taken to the Krishna Consciousness movement, and he goes off on a tangent. He says, Prahlad Maharaj will speak later on, sir, I am not inclined at all to go alone to Vaikuntha. I must take them all with me. Otherwise, I don't want. So that's, you know, how Prahlad Maharaj was thinking. So Prabhupada goes, Prahlad Maharaj is devotee. He can ask power. He can ask Krishna the power. I mean, this is the point now, okay? He can ask Krishna the power. Prabhupada said, quote, give me such power that along with me I shall take all of them, end quote. Prabhupada says, that is Vaishnav. He can do so. Vaishnava takora tomara kukora bulia janaha more. Therefore, we have to become a dog to Vaishnav. That's the instruction. We have to become a dog to Vaishnav. Jadiya Vaishnava seva nistar payeche keva. Without serving Vaishnav, nobody can be delivered. Because he is so merciful that he can demand to Krishna, once again, quote, please, on my sake, please excuse him. I will take him with me. And then, end quote, and Prabhupada says, so Krishna grants him. All right, you take them. Like that. So that's how it works. That's my understanding. That's as far as my intelligence goes. That's how it works. That the pure devotee, he says, got such a like an intimate, confidential relationship with Krishna that when he desires, if he desires the deliverance of some living entities, yeah, Krishna goes, okay. You see? So, you know, we know that Prabhupada wanted the Krishna consciousness movement to spread like anything. So we just have to pray like anything. To, you know, Prabhupada, please use me as your instrument. You know, I know you had an incredibly strong desire to see so many people take the Krishna consciousness. And that, at least that's our perfection. What will happen? I don't know. I hope. I mean, you know, it's obviously the potential is there for great things to happen. But whether they will or not, well, I hope they will. But that's up, you know, only Krishna knows. But at least we'll be perfectly situated. If we do that, if we just, you know, try to really very sincerely follow the basic program, and in addition to that, really pray to become an instrument to the predecessor Acharya, then we're perfectly situated. And, you know, incredible things could happen. There's that very famous verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where it says, by the mercy of the Panchatattva, a lame man can cross mountains, a blind man can see stars in the sky, and a dumb man can recite poetry. And Prabhupada says in the purport, he refers to the Panchatattvas as these, by the mercy of these five Acharyas. See, because we have to remember that Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they were coming not in the mood of Krishna, not in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in the mood of the Acharya. You know, Lord Chaitanya was the Acharya. Of course, you know, his confidential devotees could understand he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that was his, you know, Leela, that particular incarnation. He was an Acharya. Nityananda was an Acharya. Advaita Acharya was Acharya, of course, like that, you see? So the idea is that by the mercy of the Acharyas, incredible things can happen. You know, lame man can cross mountains, dumb man can see, write, you know, beautiful poetry, or a blind man can see stars in the sky. So anything's possible. Anything's possible. This Krishna consciousness movement could really do something. We could, you know, spread in an amazing way all over the planet. That could happen. That potential is there. And if it does, wonderful. It's like icing on the cake. And if it doesn't, but if we, in the meantime, are just like, you know, really, what's the word? Plugged into that understanding that, okay, I just have to really try to be an instrument, you know, to the predecessor Acharyas, then we're perfectly situated, at least one way or the other. And we'll be happy if it does, if it's completely very successful. And if it's not, well, we've done everything we're supposed to do in the meantime. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah, Archita. Thank you.
changing every second. Very, very impressive.
So it's a half a billion.
Yeah, that's approaching a half a billion, according to my personal website. And it's, what's another thing that's incredible is I had a question coming into the class, but you just answered it. The question was that many people can ask that we say God's mercy is there for everyone, just like the sunshine. You know, if you stay inside and you don't get the sun, that's your fault. But the sun is there for everyone. Or the rain falls everywhere, on the ocean and the mountains, everywhere. You just have to go outside, you'll get wet. But then, on the other hand, we say, Yasya Prasada Bhagavad Prasada, that you can only get the mercy of God through the Guru. So the two seem incompatible. That if God's mercy is there for everyone, just like sunshine, why do I need a Guru then? But then you just answered it. This research that you did just answered that question perfectly. God's mercy is there, but he's using the pure devotees as the conduit through which you get that mercy. So you have to approach the pure devotees. You can't avoid that. Otherwise, like I said, you know, we also say God's mercy is there just like the sun. Just go out and you get it. But no, you have to get that sunshine, that mercy sunshine, through the conduit of the pure devotee.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Ganesh Prabhu? Yeah. Ganesh. I called on Ganesh, but then maybe Mike can go over there next.
Now, the statement of Prahlad Maharaj in the purports that a devotee doesn't see anyone as friend or enemy. Now, that can be confusing depending on who hears that statement. So does that mean that Krishnapada is not my friend? Sajjay Tanoi is not my friend. The living... Explain a little more. Devotees aren't friends or enemies of anyone, but are they friendly to people or friends and enemies in terms of material vision?
It's material vision. You know, we don't have that, you know, material vision that we're not thinking of people and friends as friends and enemies in terms of like furthering our sense gratification or interfering with our sense gratification. But a devotee, at least when he comes to the second class platform, he does make distinctions. He sees the Supreme Lord. He makes friends with devotees. He is able to recognize who are innocent people who could possibly be receptive to the message of Krishna consciousness. And he has enemies, he doesn't think of them as enemies, but he avoids the outwardly atheistic, you know, the antagonistic or atheistic people. So, you know, it's not that devotee doesn't make any distinctions. He does make distinctions, but, you know, based on it's a different basis of knowledge there. You know, he's not thinking in terms of his sense gratification. He's thinking in terms of Krishna's service. Does that throw a little bit of light on it? A little bit. I have a question. Okay. So how are we different from Christians? You know, I was reading this book. This thought came to my mind when I read it. You know, it's talking about how just by the mercy of the devotee, one can get the mercy of Krishna. And it made it sound like, you know, Prabhupada says here, the devotee has that power. You know, he has that power. So the Christians, they also have that understanding that they just take shelter of Jesus Christ. He has that, he's the pure devotee, he has the power. So how are we different from the Christians? We both have this idea that the pure devotee has the power to, you know, save you, basically, to deliver you. So what's different about our understanding and their understanding? That's a question to the audience here. Okay, yeah. Anybody else want to add something? Okay.
Well, if they are following purely the instructions of Jesus Christ, then there's potency and advancement in that. But even if they are doing that, how quickly they advance is also another thing. Because our Srila Prabhupada is given the elevator to advance very quickly, the express train, to go up quickly, where at best, if they're following, they'll go up gradually, step by step. Long time, very arduous, if they're following. And if they're really, really following, then they'll come to the realization that Srila Prabhupada is shedding knowledge and more realization on the words that Jesus Christ gave to them.
Anyway, maybe that's a whole other discussion, so we'll leave it for another time. But thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Krishna's family, see?
Yeah.
So they're like the family members who are participating, you know, to like, but they're also part of Krishna's family. So everything they're doing, Krishna's, you know, I mean, directly or indirectly aware. And, but until they actually, you know, come in contact with the devotee and start becoming engaged in devotional service again, they're not pleasing them that much. I mean, you know, it's like before you're a devotee, there's things that you're going to do that you're be more displeasing to Krishna than others, you know. But once you come in contact with a devotee, get the mercy of a devotee, that you can really start pleasing Krishna in a very significant way.
It's like the second part of this question, because if they please, sometimes they can please really, but by like talent or something.
Yeah.
That when they please Lord, they feel the pleasure. They don't know what, but maybe they know. They feel the pleasure from Krishna. If they feel the pleasure, they never surrender.
Then what?
Never surrender.
Yeah, so
that's very like tricky, you know. They're just over and over, life after life, can be enjoyed by that some energy from Krishna, some love, and never surrender.
Yeah, but ultimately they have to, you know, it's that first Brahma, that living entity that's fortunate, after wandering throughout the universe, they have to meet a devotee. They have to come in contact with a devotee and get to see their devotion, the bhakti by the beach. Otherwise, a little pleasure, a little displeasure, they're going to keep in the cycle of birth and death. Until they get the mercy of a pure devotee, they're going to stay in the cycle of birth and death.
That's always, I'm okay. And they feel that okay. They really feel that sweet.
Yeah,
and
but
it's really
just
difficult.
Like, you know, it's just like the...
Mm-hmm.
They're just like on the Ferris wheel of material life. Sometimes happiness, sometimes distress.
Very
That's my understanding.
Very
anyway.
Dangerous.
Huh?
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous, yeah. So,
the number.